Okay, now if I could bring us together around a reading of God's Word today found in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is, our relationship to God is reflected in the relationship we have with His church. Our relationship to God is reflected in the relationship we have with His church. This is about community, the community of faith. And the community begins with Christ. It comes through Christ. Now, one of the things that I've noticed whenever I've had opportunity to speak, we see it at funerals, we see it at other occasions, people come and they expect a certain thing. And when you begin that service by preaching God's Word, what happens a lot of time is that I can see the light go off in some people's faces. Because I believe, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, not that they are rejecting that word, but just that they've heard it so much, because this is the South, correct? We do grow up in church, and so we've heard these stories, we've heard these verses. And so when God's name starts being proclaimed, when these verses start being read, you know, it's almost like a countenance change there. And then when you go into other things, you know, the countenance comes back up. I notice things, folks, so, you know, watch yourself. So what is the importance of this? Why does this particular section start with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared a way? There's a process of coming back to God that God had instilled in the hearts and in the worship of Him that He wanted His people to follow. And it goes back to when Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. If you go back to that section in Genesis where they were cast out, and it said they were cast out to the east, and so they exited the garden to the east. If you notice that when He sets up His worship later on in Scripture, as the tabernacle is being built, if you remember, that was the mobile temple. It was able to be knocked down, and it moved with the people as they came back or left Egypt and came back to the promised land. God had incorporated a way of worshiping Him that was to instill in their hearts that there was a process by which they had to come back to God. The temple faced toward the east. The opening gates of that tabernacle, I should say, faced toward the east. And so it implanted a thought into their mind that just as Adam and Eve were expelled toward the east, if man was to come back to God, he was going to come back from the east. He was going to have to enter the gates. And what did he bring there? He brought a sacrifice, some animal, substitutionary animal sacrifice to cover him and his household's sin. And so they brought this animal. The priest would take it. The priest then would process that sacrifice. And then that priest began to represent the people as that sacrifice was burned. As the blood of that sacrifice was used to purify the altars and the furniture that was inside the tabernacle that represented the house of God. And if you remember now that they were inside that house of God, there was a table of showbread, there was the lamp that burned, and all of those things that represent a house where the presence of God dwelt there. And of course, there was that Holy of Holies, where the actual Shekinah glory of God descended that day that the tabernacle was dedicated. And the people, and the representation of God in that glory came down to reassure the people that His presence was with them. Of course, we know that God is not limited by time and space, correct? But this was to speak into the people's heart that my glory is here. Separating that Holy of Holies from all of these other things was a veil. And when that temple was constructed, it was constructed on the same pattern as the tabernacle, where a veil separated that inner sanctum where God's presence was from all of the outer workings of worship in that temple. And so the writer of Hebrews is reminding us all that that temple, that veil that concealed the Holy of Holies from the presence, the dwelling place of God, has now been removed by Christ Himself. As His body hung upon the cross for us, if you read that account, you'll see that when He passed away in the shakings of the earth, it is said that the veil of the temple was split in two, that God's Spirit split that veil to show man that now He is ushered into that inner sanctum, that mankind now, through Christ, has been reunited or reconciled with God. That He is no longer represented by a priest that would represent humankind in that inner sanctum. That now we have access through Christ. And so why is that important? There is nothing more important, folks, than knowing that we have access to the throne room of God and that Christ has prepared a way to have our sins forgiven. What we like to hear in our sermons, what we like to hear in our books that we read, let me offer you three steps to a better life. And if you really want a life, here's 12 steps. Well, let me offer you this advice. And if you want to be this kind of a person, then this is what you do. That's what we want to read in our books. That's what drives book sales. Here's somebody that's got it figured out. Here's how this prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Here's how the world is going to end. And people just buy those things because we want to know that stuff. Forgetting that there's no more important matter than your heart and Christ united together. Because if your heart and Christ are not united together, none of that other stuff matters. Because you're not going to be able to enjoy it. And let me also remind you that if your heart and Christ are not united together, that it doesn't matter when the world ends or how the world ends, because the day that you pass away, as far as you are concerned, Christ has come. So that's why it matters. And that's why the writer of Hebrews started this particular section on that importance of community by reminding us that Christ has prepared a way. Jesus' sacrifice spanned that sin-caused gap that the fall of man in the garden had caused between humankind and God. And just as Christ now in His death has reconciled us to God, Romans 5 reminds us, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. There is a presence of Christ as our high priest and mediator that has now replaced that temple worship, that tabernacle worship, where once a year that high priest would go behind that curtain after first cleansing himself and offer a sin for the people there, offer a sacrifice for the sin of the people there. Now we go directly to God and have our hearts cleansed and have renewed and transformed minds that we can serve God and be His people and be united together with Him through that Spirit that is ours now, because Christ is alive and He is our mediator and He is our high priest. So the community of Christ begins and ends with Him. That community is built on hope. That writer wants us as his readers to hold on to our faith. And that faith comes through trust. Faith comes from trust in the person of Christ to be our deliverer from sin. Faith gives hope, and hope generates perseverance. A hope filled person will continue on as long as he or she is convinced that whatever he or she places their hope in is trustworthy. I like to give you the illustration of being in the ocean with no land in sight, and you're struggling to survive, and you're holding on to whatever thing that will float there. And that is your existence. And sometimes we feel like life has put us in places where that's all that we can do, is hold on to whatever life preserver God has given to us until He can deliver us or bring us to a better place. And if you're floating in that ocean of uncertainty and doubt, just as if you are floating in a real ocean and you happen to see the shore, you see something that gives you hope. And it gives you hope because it's real and you can see it, and you know what waits there is safety and security and peace and a ceasing of the struggle that you're in right now. And so you start out for that, and it gives you renewed energy. It gives you a renewed perseverance. And what Christ is offering us is to have that renewed energy and renewed perseverance by placing our hope and trust in Him, because He is trustworthy. He does give us that hope, that what awaits in His presence as we draw near to Him, what awaits to us as we are gathered together with Him one day, is that peace and security that He has promised His people for all eternity. If we persevere, if we sustain our faith. And so He gives us a landmark to put our faith in, and that landmark is Himself. And we focus our attention and our hope upon that, and we are drawn to Him. And His Spirit enables that power to swim, just as we're swimming toward that shore, and we know that we will find that relief there. We know that we will be saved there as we sustain that perseverance. Hope generates perseverance. I've talked to some folks one time that had started a church, and at the time that I spoke with them, the church was probably maybe 20-ish years old. And some of the older folks there that had a vivid memory of the struggle that they went through to start that church, they told me that they had never felt closer than at that time when they were joined together in that one hope of creating that church, of forming it, of making a building, having that building built where they could come and gather together and worship together. And they said that over the years, that hope, that passion, that sense of community had waned. But while they were in the throes of forming that church, they felt close, they felt joined together in that venture of coming together in one mind. And that's the community that Christ would have us to build. Always keep in mind that the church that Scripture talks about is not a building, it's not a synagogue. The church is you and me. And for that church to be built, is built one stone, one living stone at the time, as Peter reminds us. We are living stones being brought together to form that church. And we are interlocked together in that hope. We are kept together by the Spirit, bound by that hope, bound by that Spirit together as that bundle of sticks gave an illustration to these young folks this morning, that there is strength when we are bound together in that truth. And so we are called into that body. We are given the hope of Christ that will draw us to Him in that final consummation. But right now what we do is a foreshadowing of that final consummation, that final drawing together and being joined together with Him. When we gather together as His people, whether it's in this church building or whether it's downtown for coffee or lunch, we have opportunity to be the body of Christ, because we are joined together. And that is what we're called to be in that community. In that community. sometimes hope has to be fought for. Again, going back to struggling in the ocean, trying to make it to shore, hanging on to that life preserver, whatever it happens to be. Because you can lose hope that I'll never make it to that shore. I see that shoreline, I see that tree, I see that mountaintop, whatever it is that's gotten my attention, and I'm going toward that shore now. You can lose hope during that journey. Because our adversary, the devil, is prowling around, putting whispers into our ear, making us feel like we're alone, making us feel like we're the only people in the world who's ever had this problem, that it takes some superhuman strength to overcome whatever it is that we're struggling with here. And so in those situations, hope has to be fought for. Psalm 42 reminds us of this debate of the heart, where the psalmist asks, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" And then he says, "Hope in God. Hope in God." John Piper said, "Sometimes we have to preach ourselves little mini sermons so that we can continue on that journey. As we're fighting against the waves, as we're fighting against the adversity, as we're fighting against the adversary who wants nothing better for us than to fail. We preach ourselves these many sermons, just as the psalmist was doing here. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why do you feel so alone? Hope in God. See the trust there. Remember that verse, I cast my mind to the hills. Where does my hope come from? My hope comes from God. And we remind ourselves along the way that hope will not return empty when it is placed in the true and living God, when it is bolstered along by Christ, when we see it for the importance that it is in our lives. That community then that is built upon hope will be strengthened as we encourage each other in the journey. As Christ now has brought relationship between man and God, His church glorifies Him by reflecting that relationship that we have with each other. As Christ has now brought relationship between man and God, the church glorifies Him. The church glorifies Him by reflecting that relationship that we have with each other. We are the image of God. That means we are His signpost. We are His ad, billboard. We are the people of God that reflect His character, His nature. We are the ones that others can look at and see God at work inside of an imperfect creature. And so we are encouraged by the writer of Hebrews and in other places in Scripture to meet together. Why? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. There was a lot of persecution. There was a lot of things happening in that community that the writer of Hebrews was writing into that would discourage people. There was a disconnect between how they had perceived Christ coming back at a time that they thought was going to be much earlier than what He had intended. And so there was a misperception about His return. There was, as I said, persecution from outside forces wanting them to give up their faith, calling them cannibalistic in some ways because of how communion was being offered. So there were many things going on in the life of this young church to discourage them. And this church needed encouragement. There's many things in the life of this church that is going on where we need encouragement. Watch the morning news. Read the paper. See all of the things that are happening around the world where it looks like the church is shrinking, where it looks like people are giving up hope, where it looks like there are so many enemies and so few of us to fight against them. But in that we have the hope of Christ. In that we have the hope that we need to pass on to others. Cain asked God, if you remember, am I my brother's keeper? His sarcastic response to God's question, where's your brother Abel, after Cain had murdered him? Cain's like, you know, I'm not responsible for him. The scripture says we are responsible. Philippians 2, let each of you in the church, in the body, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Community is strongest when its members are concerned about their neighbor. Scripture is speaking to us to love each other enough that we are concerned not only with the physical well-being, but the spiritual well-being as well. Where will our neighbor spend eternity? Do I believe Christ is returning to judge the world? Is it imminent? If we believe that, then we are to live in that faith. And we are to encourage others in that same faith. Scripture reminds us not to neglect the gathering of ourselves together where we can find encouragement, where we can encourage each other. Why do we proclaim the Apostles' Creed? To encourage each other. This is what we believe. It's a reminder of the basis of our faith. Why do we sing hymns? Why do we have preaching? Why do we pray? To encourage each other, to remind each other. Your presence here today is a physical statement of hope to all who are around you. That yes, I believe in these things. Yes, I believe that Christ is my mediator, my great high priest, my Savior, my Lord. Yes, I believe that Christ is my hope. And my presence here today is speaking that hope into you. And that's what we do for each other. And when we're absent from that, when we neglect that, we are neglecting the care that Scripture wants us to have for each other. And as I said, it's not just coming together for worship on Sunday morning. It's gathering in houses, what I like to call, if you remember, that pound cake ministry. Where we sit with each other and we talk and we encourage and we listen to their problems and their struggles and we enjoy a cup of coffee and a piece of pound cake. Excuse me, a piece of pound cake or whatever it was, whatever you want to eat that day. Chow down on a barbecue rib if you want. But the fact is that you're meeting together. And you're encouraging, and you're available, and you say, I care about you by your presence. Your presence here today says, God, I care about you. Your presence here today says, my neighbor, I care about you too. And being willing to sacrifice your most precious possession, your time, to sit and have a person pour out their heart to you is a most precious gift. That is what the writer of Hebrews was writing to that church and to that people about. And God has provided His protection on these words and is now through His Spirit giving to us this encouragement, this exhortation. Let our time together here be surrendered to the Lord, to be used by Him for the building up of His church, for the encouraging of others. Let it strengthen us, and as it strengthens us, know that the body of Christ is strengthened as well. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day, asking your continued guidance and help upon us as we seek to do your will, as we seek to meet together, as we seek to encourage others, as we seek to be the men and women of Christ that you would have us to be. Father, may you use us mightily in the hope of encouragement, that we all gather together being strengthened in unity, being guided by your Spirit. Father, this is our prayer in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.